Hey, beautiful world. This week and throughout the weekend, we get to honor mothers. To my nurses, our teachers, and my very own wonderful, kind-hearted queen mother, Avis Cherry Barrett. This tribute, darling, is for you.
Mama, mama, you know I love you. Ooh, you know I love you, mama. Mama, you're the queen of my heart.
And grandma.
Your love is like tears from the stars. Mama, I just want you to know. Loving you is high food to my soul.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Food to my soul.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Food to my soul. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Tiger Mom. Mama Bear. All of that in one. You're a warrior queen for the ones you love, from sunrise to sundown. Nurturer, guardian, teacher, housekeeper, you wear so many hats, my love. In spite of all the difficulties, you never ever give up. Your sacrifice paves the way. You inspire us each and every day. We honor you, our darling mommy, mama, mom. Every day we see your reflection in who we have become. Thinker, planner, prayer warrior, party planner, producer, numbers cruncher, best cook ever, nurse, counselor, problem solver, a true reflection of our Heavenly Father. And Aunt B, our family queen, matriarch, my grandma, the love I have for you is immeasurable. But for moms everywhere, you matter. We love you. We appreciate everything you do. God bless you with extra strength, extra favor, and a little bit of TLC time. Love you, moms. Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
When we were kids, our parents drilled in our heads, make good choices. As parents now, we tell our kids the same thing. Why? Because our choices are powerful. So today we're going to discuss how one pivotal choice can change a life.
As adults, we tend to feel that, well, we kind of know now that we don't know nothing. When you're teenagers, you feel like you know everything. And, you know, in your 20s, when you're supposed to be finding yourself, you really feel that you're there. And you're not. And the decisions you make then are going to be completely different than the decisions that you're going to make now. So when you see a young person making a decision, have grace on them. Give them grace. Remember you were that child. Remember you were that 20-year-old. If they want, because a lot of them, remember, them know everything. You were that person too. They don't want to hear from you. So, but if they ask, give them your opinion. Share your experience with them. You have a lot of young people who are getting married. And if you are in a marriage and you are more experienced, you've been married longer, provide some advice. They don't know. It's all new to them. Share your experience. And we went back to the whole thing about some people don't want to air their business. Let them know that it is not all roses and sunshine. That marriage
thing. And riding off into the sunset with Cinderella and the prince.
I mean,
fairy tale situation. That is not facts.
It's not facts. That share with them that they're going to be ups and downs. Share, but don't just say, don't give blanket statements.
Mm-mm.
Give personal experience.
Stories.
So that they can learn from you.
I find that when I share the stories with the young people, you're getting them to talk to you more, honestly.
Because you're more open. You seem like a real person as opposed to you giving out this generic and listen and quote the Bible. Listen. Nobody loved the Lord like me. But I am definitely going to tell you what is happening right now. The testimony.
You overcome by your testimony.
Yeah. But if I can tell them that, listen, when me did vex with my husband and me a going like me nice, my that's husband right. that for Mm-mm. sure me said this and this, they will be able to relate with that.
People get it.
Relate.
Me want to bring up family secrets because sometimes the old people them have trauma too. And they bury the trauma, act like say never happened. And they could have preserved their grandchild, their own child, from repeating the same thing that happened to them. You know? By sharing, like, listen, this happened to me. It's because I didn't know so and so. And you know, this happened to me, and then boops, this happened. When an elderly person share their mistakes with you, you don't just put them up on a pedestal anymore. You're like, oh, they're really human for real, and they do make mistakes, but here is the lesson they got out of it.
Right.
So if you have some, the older generation, they are very tight-lipped about their trauma. They're not going to talk about it. They don't. They act like it never happened. Oh, they're accomplished now, so they don't look back at the things that... But people, all of the people in the Bible, from Moses to Peter, all of these people had issues.
Issues!
They're never perfect. A big troublemaker them. And use the people that mistakes and just catapult them to be leaders of nations, leaders of this, leaders of that. Listen, if me bring up my skeleton, everybody run. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why we try to be open and honest on this podcast, because we found that when we made the worst mistakes of our lives, that was our biggest lesson of our lives as well.
Biggest lessons.
Not you, Trina. How much big mistake you make? Oh, my God.
Listen, stop count. Stop count. Okay. From the beginning up to now. Okay. Every day is a school day. I'm still learning. I am still learning. Okay.
Every day is a school day.
Every day is a school day.
And they need to hear that too. They need to hear that we're still growing. Yes, we're still learning.
We're still growing. Because you are growing daily. Your husband is growing daily. Your children. Everyone's growing. We're constantly evolving. So there's no way that we are going to always be on the same page.
Right.
Nope.
No.
No. Veronica was talking to me the other day. She's like, oh my gosh, I talk to my child all the time about
hygiene and all this stuff. Do I have to keep doing it when they get older? I'm just so tired of talking about this and talking about this over and over. Does it change? And the evolution is real, people. I have a 10-year-old and I have a 15-year-old. And the stuff that you repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat with a 10, the 15-year-old is like, today I heard him like, Mom, I'm taking out the trash at 2. I was like, who?
What? What is that? Y'all have a time.
I don't have to say that right now. Okay, so there is hope. We are always transitioning, even the young people. Them, he's like, Mom, I see the trash, and I before you say it, I'm taking before the trash out at 2.
At 2,
and there was a time.
Yes.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I repeat the same thing over and over and over and over. And you're like, wait a minute. I don't understand why this is a daily repetition. But they learn and they grow and they evolve. Children is doing it. Husband a move. Husband wife a move. If well, you are not moving, you are dead.
There you go. Period.
Growth is inevitable. We're born a certain way as babies. Our bodies are changing constantly. There's evolution at every decade. There is some big shift. Whether it's a mental shift or just your body. Listen, evolution is, that is one thing that is constant.
Constant, yeah.
Women changing, men changing, the children changing, the old people, them are changing. The body are changing, the spirit are changing. You're evolving. Mm. You're an evolving, living, breathing human being. It's inevitable. So don't choose not to evolve.
That's it.
Don't choose to be someone who is alive but dead.
Alive but dead.
It's a decision, people.
Yes, it is. It's a decision.
Sure, it's a decision.
Don't choose to withhold your love when you can't give it.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
Speaking to the malice people in the room.
All those.
You know, me a talk about what she wants. Sure.
Don't throw the word pastor from the pulpit.
Yes.
Time for colic offering. Time for colic offering.
Okay. You don't. You have people. What COVID teaches more than anything else is you don't know who's here today. Some of the people them who died over this year or even today, you're like, I never thought I would live to see that person die. There's a lot of people.
So many.
I never thought I would be without this person. I never imagined my life that this person wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So it means you have love to give, and sometimes it is hard to decide to give your love, but you can. And when you decide not to give your love, to withhold your love, you have decided to do
that. It is a choice.
My mother tell me she never want nobody, and she just decided in her mind, and that was the end of the story. And once she held on to that, that was gospel for her.
But the same thing happened to your grandmother. That was it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, people. You see, when I sent the episode, and when I sent it, them say, yep, that was us. Got it on the head. This is us. We had to do this. My grandmother was like that. There is no way I should have not followed in their footsteps. It's God.
So it's almost like...
And it's their prayers. It's their
prayers. So it's almost like breaking a generational curse. Sometimes when we talk about curses and generational curses, sometimes you think it's something bad or something, you know, horrible. And
Yes.
But this was a generational curse of one family generation decide that they were just going to have a child. And if they get hurt, that they didn't show love or they didn't receive love, but they've had love in the past. And the one time they got hurt, really bad.
Devastated.
It's so devastating to them that they refuse.
To open their heart again.
To open back.
That's deep.
So they decided that.
That's a decision.
So I got devastated in the same way my grandmother and my mother did too.
See there?
But worse. It was a weird one. I got devastated to the point where I'm going to describe it like this.
it, to me, that heartbreak felt like someone took my heart out of my chest, put it on the floor, and take the whole body weight and jump
but
up
Tina,
on it.
But Tina,
that's how it
how
felt.
That feel is how some every woman can describe their heartbreak. That's just exactly how it feel. That's how it felt for your grandmother. That's how it felt for your mother.
Yeah.
That's how it felt for every woman out there who have experienced heartache. But
that's how it felt.
They decided that will never happen to me again.
Never.
Never.
Wow.
And I decided my mom didn't want to get married and don't want nobody. And my grandmother the same. And I never even did correlate my grandmother one because I just see her as holy and just always wanting Jesus. I never even connected until when I sent her the podcast. And they were like, yep, we just cut up. Listen, man, I have no set in at this. My grandmother was like, listen, you can't go bread, go to your bed with want and wake up with need. I was like, what is that even mean? they are resolute in this decision. And they know that this is what the best decision that they could ever made. Now, when I saw that, I realized how God was merciful to me that even in their resolution and in their, they prayed for someone. They were praying for my life so much that they could not control whether I was going to get married or not because God put who he want in there and move out who he never want to be in there. They were praying for me so much that by the time my husband come, they accepted him. They never try to run him with them, accept him because it's like, you ever know that you're praying for your children and then when you finally see the person where you're praying for, you just connect? I guess that's what it was. I guess that's what it was with them. And they told me, they said, oh my gosh. We just loved him. He felt so familiar to us. So, because I guess they just prayed so hard for someone like that. But I never know they were praying. But my decision was, me no want to be like mommy. I cannot shut down my mind for say because one person hurt me. Nobody else in the world is there for me. I just should do without because one person had whatever their issue was. Because initially when my heart did break, me think of something, something you know, which most women do. They blame themselves first.
Most women think it's them, yeah. It's true.
I thought it was me, but he just wasn't for me.
Period.
That's it.
Period. And I'm going to tell you, I have this chain on right now. You see, when I just start dating my husband, I have to tell you this story.
Oh, God.
My husband, we were just dating, we're fresh a date. And it was my birthday. And my husband see me as a queen before me I even accept the fact. And my husband go on Macy's and buy me one bashment necklace. The necklace for my neck. Older than my marriage. And my husband buy me a necklace. And when my birthday came and he handed me the box and everything, I'm open it and I looked in there. That's to show you where my mentality was. It definitely was not queen. I open up the box and I see this necklace and I was like, this is too much for me. Why would you give me this? This is too much. We're not even there yet. In my mind, I said, we're not even there yet. Why is he going overboard like this? Understand. I close up the box, people. I put back the box on my desk and I never on the side of my side table and I never open the box. So this time I live in Brooklyn, people. August 29, my birthday. Couple days pass. September 11, 2001. 20 years ago. I am about to go to class and may I watch news before I go to class because I was a journalism major. I'm going to say plane, a fly in a building and all type of thing. And I'm in Brooklyn. So imagine in your mind, you say, okay, the world is kind of coming to an end right about now. Because if this is happening in Manhattan and I'm in Brooklyn, this is going to be terrorism all over New York. That's how my mind calculates things. I say, okay, we dying today. Where my box?
You know what?
Where's my necklace?
Wait.
Where my box? Uno, give me, me put on my necklace before me dead because this is about to be a wrap here and I'm going out beautiful.
Oh,
I'll grab my box and clap on my necklace and I'm telling you, that is what got me to put on
the necklace.
But Trina, the is like, she is thinking about death. I asked her, but you know what? Make me wear the necklace before me.
Let me tie the necklace on. Me can't manage. No.
Not let me no, seek son. Shelter. Let, no not, let me sweet. Let me hide. I just said, listen, we are all dying.
No.
Let me put my chain on.
I'm looking cute. I'm doing put my chain on. My bling bling.
People, but let me tell you that. Is it from that day there? If Veronica, we tell you. Is it if me get one new thing, it is on the same day.
All right. So that's what I'm talking.
Put nothing up.
Mm-mm.
I'm
if I
there
get
with
something
you.
New is going on my body, because mm-hmm. no, I promise to nobody. Hello, and stop going like
nobody
forever.
All right.
So I had to appreciate a September 11 got me to put my chain on. That's my September 11 story. A lot of people have other things going on. Me,
oh my
I
God.
Realize. Listen, just go be the queen where your husband's sinner, please. Even at that point, never even reached there.
For real.
But he saw that before I became that. He wouldn't give me the tin liquor chain or whatever. A bashment necklace, my man, give me.
Bashment no,
I'm going
necklace.
To LA. But before, I was like, what's he doing? Nobody had given me anything so exquisite before. Nobody. And that is up in the early dating period.
I see it there.
So imagine, you know? So imagine. So by the time we get to the point where marriage was a reality and stuff, God always humble people. Because see me, I was a confident hombre. You see, when me graduate from college, can't find a job, people. Cannot find any job. Me turn babysitter out of college. Right? For calm myself, because you can't find a job. You're like, I know everything. I got everything. Now I got my degree. It's time to work. Television, here I come. Can't find a work. And when me now work, I mean, I do a babysitting. At them the time that my husband I propose, now me not no money for getting married.
Why did you automatically?
I'm just saying that's how my mother raised me. We're going back to that, girls. You always have to have your bank book. You always have to have your cash.
Strong, independent, okay.
You always have to pay for your stuff. Yeah. And listen, I'm not going to lie to you. When I used to be in Jamaica, I used to go up and date and certain things like that. I did not have to pay for my dinner. Anybody who you're dating, there was no splitting half and half and all this garbage. A cultural thing
that was
is
a cultural
whoever
thing
the man
well.
That wanted to take out the woman, right, V? In pay for everything.
You.
Yeah.
So this situation 50-50 up here when we come to America, we're like, what? This is so weird. Who does that? You want to date me? You must be half of the food.
Yeah.
Didn't get that.
Half of it.
Mm-hmm. So he dated me. He dated me, proposed to me when me now work people. The man still, he's seen all this, and I'm just like, what are you, I don't understand. So my mom had retired at the time, and she went to Jamaica, and my mom, as the moms that we have, you know she gonna go all out, right, people? The woman said, just bring the man and bring the dress, and you got it going on. You got it situated. Because guess all what? Right. When I talked to my mother, she said, listen, this was everything to me. I said, what? She said, I didn't have the dream wedding that I wanted, but my one and only daughter was getting the dream wedding, and I was going to pull down every penny that I save and whatever to make sure that you were the beautiful queen that I raised you to be.
The Beloved Queens podcast will continue after this break.
Guys, I can't even believe that it's May already. Can you believe it, guys? Boy, oh boy, 2021 is rolling away. But before we move right along, last week it was my dad's birthday, so I want to give a happy birthday shout out to the one and only Bezo. And I also celebrated one of my good friends from my little group in Brooklyn, the Purplettes. Anissa, happy belated birthday to you too. And also happy belated anniversary to you and Mervyn. Niss, you're just my little competitive Purplette. We served in the youth ministry at Brooklyn Tabernacle together as single ladies, and God brought us our kings the same year. My hubby filmed your wedding, and I had the honor of editing it. So let there be better, more, and more love. You know you guys are my favorite Trini couple. And their miracle baby boy, John John. We both have John Johns. Happy birthday and happy anniversary, guys. Love ya.
Let me tell you something, people.
Wow.
Tina wedding all did have dancers, performers.
All right.
Came and performed before the bride. I don't know what's coming to America when the people have the dance of them. And Tina, where is that now?
My mother in a bashment.
Where's the Tina?
There was a concert performance before the bride come in. Understand.
But I tell you.
Ratted.
You know how you say you plan everything. Okay. I'm coming to Jamaica, so.
Queen.
You want to plan everything, but I had my sister and she's an event person. And all I did, this took off all the stress off of me. But all I did was download all of my plans to my sister and she executed it perfectly because it wasn't just all in my head. I just said, here's what I want, here's a song, here's what, here's this, here's what's going to happen, first, second, third, blah, blah. I gave her everything and she just run it. I mean, if I have to worry about one. You know how some brides have so much things in them, and them not just distribute it to. And the other thing I said when I was getting married, I said, people always have dramatic situations in their wedding. There's always some drama make the bride stress out, right? I said, I don't want none of that. So the dramatic family members was not a part of my wedding. I said, God, whoever you want, who's going to cause me the least drama, make them say yes. And then I have my mama beer on my side, right? Just a Veronica's made of other side. Anybody I come in, you know, so she'll come with a karate chop, so she got me. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. So I have her, zero drama in my life. Zero.
God.
I remember the night of my wedding, ladies. I stay up crying the entire night. Because, and it's not tears of sadness. I felt like, oh my gosh, how did I get here?
It's here.
I didn't even think.
How did I get here? Because it was literally like 2 years prior that you were devastated.
Wow.
So to see that transition. And I remember saying to you, because she was at my wedding 2 years prior to that. And I remember saying to her, you're going to get married. And she's like, I must mad you, I'm mad. Because I ain't dating nobody. So I didn't know what kind of marriage you are talking about. And it happened. And she could not.
The whole night.
Tina ball from the night.
Through the car,
Tina ball in the morning. Mm-mm. When the people, put on the makeup, them do our hair.
When
we in the car.
In the night, I just kept seeing how God take me from devastation to restoration. I saw my heart from in pieces. To just him putting it back together, to him giving me, and it's all in a decision to say, you know what, not because somebody, one person hurt me, I am going to make a decision not to allow someone else to love me. And I was crying the whole night, just happy tears that I saw God take a wrecked, broken person and found somebody to love her. Because literally, I'm going to tell you the honest to goodness truth. When we went to therapy, I discovered that, but like 10 years after we got married, when I went to therapy, I realized that my husband's love was what healed me to. He healed me back to myself. I was so decimated. His love healed me back to myself. And so, wedding day, Oh my gosh, my mom said she was so proud. I got to give you all the joke because I spent the last 2 weeks trying to figure out this piece of the puzzle that was very strange to me. May I ask Veronica, may I ask everybody? I'm like, I don't understand how this happened. Uh-huh. So y'all hear me talk about my father and the relationship we had in the past. But my father is walking me down the aisle in all of my wedding pictures and I'm confused about that fact. And I couldn't understand, how did I make that decision to have him walk me down? I'm like, wait a second, this don't make no sense in my head because he's dead to me type of thing. I'm like, how in the world did he give me away if he never had me? That don't make like a, that don't look like a decision I would make. And so I'm going on this fact-finding expedition to find out how in the world that happened. I asked V, she said, me not really know because I'm confused. And me never know. I mean, I look too diary for trying to find out if I write it down anywhere. And she said, call your grandmother. Come ask my mother, nothing. I call my grandmother, she said, you called us and you were talking to us about, you know, about basically maybe me walk you down and your mother or whatever. And I remember telling you that, you know, just let bygones be bygones. He's your father already. He had name Samuel's last name. So she said, just, she told me, she said, let bygones be bygones. Because what was happening, like for the wedding, he was like repairing the church and he was proud too. So he was doing stuff and fixing up the church and repairing the church and making sure that everything's just as new to do whatever he could. So it's almost like the whole community came together to celebrate me getting married to my husband. And from daddy to everybody. So he walks me down the aisle. Mommy come down first. All of the people come down first. And he walks me down the aisle. And when I get to the edge of the island, he's supposed to hand me over. So the pastor, you know what the pastor says? Who gives this woman here to this man? Here comes Davis. My father ready for say, I do. Mommy, she just jump up beside him and say, we do.
Oh, Lord. Oh. You ain't going to take that from me.
You ain't going to steal my joy.
I said, Mommy, why did you do that? She said, first of all, I did all of this by myself. And there is no way he's going to come and take something that he did not have any responsibility or shared in anything. Mm. And I wanted to let the world know that I'm okay with giving you to him. Mm. She was like, yes, this is my daughter. My blood, sweat, and tears, all the sacrifices I give. Yes, I'm in agreement with this too. I'm going to let my voice be made heard.
Wow.
So my mom stood up in an unconventional setting just to say, I give my daughter away. Mm. She never silenced her voice at that moment. She spoke up her truth in that moment and stuff. And she felt so proud because she was like, I didn't get to do this. But here, my daughter, let me tell you, people, my mother rent out gold limousine, sure. Lexus limousine for me. Come in, am I with me now? Let me tell you, roll up like a princess, gold. She said, I wanted a white, but they didn't have it. And they said, gold. I said, yes, that's perfect. That's sure. perfect.
Gold. No, sir.
Roll up. Yep, she paid for my hunt, the night of the hunt, the night, you know, the hotel where we stayed. She was just bring the man. All the food was taken care of. Everybody was giving this cake, make everybody. It was just a nice, wonderful community wedding. Like, just like my little parties used to be, my wedding was like that. Really. I don't know half the people who were there, but hello. My mom just wanted...
She had her party.
Quite happy about it. She had her party. That's it. This is what she lived for, she said, and she was so happy about it.
This was also huge because it was kind of the first time she had the opportunity, was given the opportunity to celebrate a marriage in our family, you know, especially coming from her own lineage. And there's nothing truly special about me in all of this. The lesson I got from this more than anything else is that you don't really have to live your parents' life. You don't have to follow in their footsteps because God have a plan for every single person. So he can break generational curses and he can give you what they never had. So you don't have to be like, well, my mom was lonely, so I'm gonna be lonely. You don't have to do that. We all can carry our own light. We can find our own path, you know? How? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. And then in everything, when you acknowledge him, he will surely direct your path, people. Ladies out there, he will direct what path you should take. But it's all about trusting him first.
But yeah, my grandmother say, you know, you just, she say, yeah, mommy, tell you, just relax and nobody worry about old time stuff. And she said, she literally tell me, say, me say, me go make bygones, me make big bygones. And I just don't remember that. That had to be the Holy Spirit.
I told you that. That had to be the Holy Spirit
because God. Oh, she also said, I did not want to bring the old into something new. So I wanted to let that roll away.
That makes sense.
I did not remember any of that conversation until recently when I spoke to her.
Wow.
So again, I don't remember that. That was God. That was God.
But I like that statement. And not letting the old, not bringing the old into the new. Oh. That's another podcast where you're bringing old baggage into this new relationship.
That's another topic. Yeah.
That's another topic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For another day. But, you know, I like that. And I think those words jolt you and you're like, I'm not bringing toxic into this. Yeah. Because you know what toxic was. And you're, so you were making sure that, okay, if that's going to happen, if I do this, toxic is going to enter this, I'm not going to allow that.
Didn't even realize it. So there you made a decision. I don't remember it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The decision.
But that decision safeguarded my relationship earlier on. Even when made it toxic with some of my bad ways. Mm. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because it didn't, that negativity from the past did not enter. That resentment from the past never didn't have any space in there because we started it out bringing everybody back on the, you know, on the same page. It's very interesting. Very.
You know, and I'm thinking about going back to, like, the marriage and how I initially made a decision that in my marriage, we have to be a couple that we enjoy each other's company. That was important to me. Like, I wanted to make sure that we enjoyed each other's company. So even when we were dating, like, that was important. Like, we had to, because I watched other relationships where people, they wouldn't even like talking to each other. They come into a room and you could feel the animosity. And it was so toxic to me as a kid growing up and just watching it. And I'm like, I don't want to ever be in a relationship where I can't stand. Because that's how I felt. Like, these two people can't stand each other, but yet still they're together. So I knew at an early age, if I'm in a relationship and I'm getting married and we're going to be in a marriage, it had to be where we enjoyed each other. Love each other.
But you ever wonder why people think so they can't hide that they're not?
Because they have a smile on their face. Because they have a smile on their face.
It's so fake though.
The facade is up. I got the facade up. Yes. And as soon as the person enters the room.
Like, oh, you're a fool. Because, again, if you're not happy, you don't know yourself, you're fooling yourself. Because, again, when you genuinely, purely, like Trina said, enjoy your spouse company. When you genuinely and truly enjoy and love your spouse, like Veronica was saying, people see it.
Your man walk through the door, every woman can, that's your man, because you lighten up. Everyone should be able to be like.
And that's true. And how I noticed that was, I think Mullen and I were going, I think we were going to Jamaica. Yeah, and we were on the plane, and you know how we are. We're just having a conversation and just talking and laughing and whatever. And the plane land, and we were getting off, and a guy got up and he turned around and he's like, "You guys have been together a long time, haven't you?" And we looked at each other and we're smiling. We're like, "Right." He was like, "Why did you say that?" He's like, "Because it's so you guys. It seems so easy for you." And you guys are actually having fun.
Yeah.
Because
people notice.
It shows.
We are good. Our radar picks up real love. Yeah. It just does as human beings. You pick it up. You feel it. You want in the presence of it. It's nice. Just like how Veronica was saying, And me and everybody were talking a while ago, and she had told me, say, me a ball out the whole thing. Literally, we have to have the paper towels on and leave my eye in the car. It was funny, just so that my eyeliner would run on my face. Because you have these tears of happiness that just can't stop. Mm-hmm. I just burst. This week, I had that same feeling. So I'm doing my meditation, and usually there's a point in my meditation where I pray. And when I got to this point in my meditation, I am crying the whole time, just like the night I'm awake. And I would just feel with this sense of gratitude that God gave me my husband. That was my whole heart. It was I don't remember if it was Thursday or when. I just could not stop crying. Come here, say, It's almost, I could never pick my husband. It's like you know, you feel the divinity in it because it feels so real. You just appreciate the grown him walk, man. You just feel so happy that he's with you. Him could have picked, I could have made a decision and him not pick me, or him could have picked somebody else. These are all decisions that could have happened, that could have caused our lives to go in a completely opposite direction.
Exactly.
He got a heartbreak. I got a heartbreak. It ended up leading to heartbreak people to one another. Boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. And it's like God just orchestrates certain things. So even in your pain, there is purpose in a people.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Mm. Yep, always.
He wants to get you to your purpose sometimes. But what we make a mistake and do, I remember making a decision as well to feel the pain, to cry in the heartbreak time, to vent, to go through the various mourning stages. But I also made a decision not to stay there forever.
You have to make a decision.
Yeah, I have to make a decision to exit stage left.
That's true.
Because too many people hurt forever.
Woo! Oh, them wife up the hurt.
And one.
1960 and one.
I had a conversation with a 70-year-old woman. Sorry, I have to bring up the toxic conversation. Yeah. I had a conversation with a 70-year-old woman, and she was telling me her story about being with a man who she didn't know was married until he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Having children for him, everything. She shared the story.
Mm-hmm.
Had all her kids, didn't know that this man had another family and all of that. And some relationships end up like that. But she's telling me about the story, and the pain is raw. Everything is so rich. I'm thinking this happened yesterday, right? So I just decided to ask her, "So when him dead, and when you find out?" 1976. I said, "Whoops."
No.
What?
I said 40 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman of up the arty, pretty woman, long, pretty ear, beautiful skin. She have the prettiest personality ever. You love her when she cook food nice for you. She loving and sweet. but she cannot. She park in at the heartbreak and just don't want to move out of there.
Wow.
40 years later.
40 years.
And I, when my mother them tell me, say, they make a decision never to want anybody and da-da-da-da-da, my decision, let me tell you what the gift for me get. My decision not to stay where my parents stayed gave me the opportunity to see what it is like with a father in the house raising children. I would not get that opportunity if my husband, if I did not select my husband, if God never put, give me the opportunity for just get love back again, I would not see. I am living right now with my children and it's the first time I'm seeing what it looks like for a father to be in a house with kids. That's the opportunity I would have. See there, Trina, two, and right? I would have missed that opportunity. The car you shut down in a pen.
You would have also robbed your child of that opportunity.
Oh yeah, because remember me and you, the plan, we just gonna have a kid and no man.
Listen, no, we had another friend who was in the plan as well.
Three
idiots. Three fools.
Ready.
But my one did even worse. Me did I look for a sperm donor.
Sure. You're not even in what?
Me not even did never want even to even it. Bother with no oh, male species.
Mm-mm. It's the thing.
That's the thing. We make. The decisions.
So you see how much the decisions.
The decisions we
make. I would have missed out on seeing. Number two, I would have missed out on someone loving me to the point where I could love well. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not giving peace a love, but all I'm in love. Because our spouses have the power to heal us too with the love. The love reaching up people. When you lock yourself off of that, they love their nagia love and a talk about the old time story and the past and the drama, baby. Yeah, rob yourself of the beautiful healing that comes out of love. Mm. Love heals all wounds. Love cover all our sin. Love is just a powerful thing.
That unconditional love.
In fact, love is God.
Ooh.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would not see it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see what it is like because I shut myself out from, because one person wasn't whole. Me gonna make my entire life shut down because one person was broken and make a decision that don't include me in there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's time to move on, ladies. One heartbreak don't mean that there's only one man in the world for you. You can love again and love again and love again and try again. This time, how I got to the point of loving again, I say, God, what was my prayer? I say, God, next person that come in my life, you choose them.
Mm.
And I find that whenever I pray those prayers, I start make my plan and agenda and reti, he often honors it. Like I say, okay, no more of me.
You surrender.
This ain't working at all. Yeah, this ain't working. Can you help? Next person comes into my life, I pray that you send the person instead of me trying to pick who I think I connect with or my personality matches with, or you know, watch the what is show name again? Via the queen of the show was the show
Married at
First Sight. And you do the personality test and rate, blah.
Marriage at First Sight. I actually only watch one season, but yeah, people.
Me too. I couldn't watch anymore.
The premise of the show is the psychiatrists and all these doctors, and they do these personality tests, and they match you with the person who you would on paper, because the premise is we are too visual. You know, we have that image in our head of what our mates should be and what we really want. But we're not choosing people who we're compatible with. So I guess the different tests should find someone who you're compatible with. And most times it doesn't look like what you thought.
It never does.
Never does.
And they take the emotions part out of it. They take the, you know, the stuff that normally would cause people, you know, the physical and the chemical mm-hmm. thing from a distance. Some of the people, mm-hmm. them, when they match up the people, them with is like, there's no way yeah. you would have picked that person.
Oh, yeah.
And the unlikely, I remember the one season we watched, the most unlikely couple that everybody thought was going to break up. And them yep. still stand the test of time.
Mm, look at that.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like that. There's no way Tina and Roddy's going to make it. She too this and him too that. There is no way.
But the reason why people make it, it's because every day they get up, they make a decision to stay together. Every single day.
That's it.
Each person in that relationship make the decision that I'm going to stay. That's all it is, people. There's no magic potion. There's no class we can take you to and make you do these tests. And if you do these five things, it will last forever and you'll always be happy. Each day, both you and the person you're with make the decision that I'm going to stay. But when you make that decision, what are you going to do?
Action steps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be present. Are you going to be present?
There you go.
Are you going to be open to receive and give?
Are you going to be vulnerable? Even if it hurts sometime. Are you going to be honest? Are you just going to be real? And just put down the front and the facade and say, listen, this is me, good, bad, and ugly. You can decide to love me. But don't spend your life deciding to make somebody else's life miserable. It is not pretty. Misery loves company, but really, it needs to be by itself.
Or sometimes it's fear, because I've heard women say that too. The fear, they're afraid of being alone. So they'd rather stay at night.
That's an interesting philosophy.
Yeah. Yes. They're afraid of being alone, so I'd rather stay because at least I have somebody there with me.
And that's a legitimate fear, Trina, where some people like, I don't want to die alone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But why does it have to be so extreme, though?
Because most people think in black and white, there's no gray.
And that is why it is always imperative to ask the chief master planner, okay, I think I want to try to trust your plan. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not, if it not go, right. go the way you expect it, it's on him. It's just that you are, all right. People say, I'd rather not be alone. Jesus is not really here with me. And I just don't, I need a person and a body. And I'd rather have a married body than nobody. Or I'd rather have a person who treats me inferior than have nobody. I promise you. We said this in the first podcast. There is someone who loves you more than your parents, more than you love yourself, far more than you know. There is somebody who loves you like that. And what our prayer for you is that you would come face to face with the heart, his divine heart for you, because that's where the true love is, and that is the only thing that can fill us. It's not even in the relationship. It's a vertical relationship with the Father that really fills us to the point that no human being can fill. So you try stuff a human in a place what just kind of is actually custom made for just God alone. You can't stuff any human being. No husband can go in that. No parent, no father, no one, because he's supposed to go there. And I know hardships, society, life, issues, just disaster, pandemic, so many natural disasters squeeze us into places where you just become like, you're just a function in it. You're just a flow with the chaos. You flow with the distraction, you flow with the hurt, you flow with the pain. And us queens here just want to say to you, you're more than your pain, you're more than your trauma. You can rise from the ashes. Just make a decision to. And if you do have a hand, you just say, Lord, I need your hand to hold. Just guide me out of the ashes. And as I close my eyes, I just can see so many women as phoenixes rising from the ashes. Whatever pain you're in, whatever trauma that has held you back, whatever person who has told you you are nothing, whatever person who has touched you improperly, whoever violated your innocence, that does not define you. Whoever left you at the altar, that one incident is not the blueprint of God's plan for your life. So ask the Lord, in this pain, guide me, hold my hand, Father, and lead me to my purpose. And you will rise like the phoenix out of your ashes.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms @TheBelovedQueens.